A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, for three crimes of Israel, and for four, I will not revoke my word, because they sell the just man for silver, and the poor man for a pair of sandals. They trample the heads of the weak into the dust of the earth, and force the lowly out of the way. Son and father go to the same prostitute, profaning my holy name. Upon garments taken in pledge, they recline beside any altar. And the wine of those who have been fined, they drink in the house of their God. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorites before them, who were as tall as the cedars and as strong as the oak trees. I destroyed their fruit above and their roots beneath. It was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and who led you through the desert for 40 years. To occupy the land of the Amorites. Beware, I will crush you into the ground, as a wagon crushes when laden with sheaves. Flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong man shall not retain his strength. The warrior shall not save his life, nor the bowman stand his ground. The swift of foot shall not escape, nor the horseman save his life. And the most stout-hearted of warriors shall flee naked on that day, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Remember this, you who never think of God. Why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, though you hate discipline and cast my words behind you? When you see a thief, you keep pace with him, and with adulterers you throw in your lot. To your mouth you give free rein for evil. You harness your tongue to deceit. You sit speaking against your brother. Against your mother's son you spread rumors. When you do these things, shall I be deaf to it? Or do you think that I am like yourself? I will correct you by drawing them up before your eyes. Consider this, you who forget God, lest I rend you and there be no one to rescue you. He that offers praise as a sacrifice glorifies me, and to him that goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God.
When Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other shore. A scribe approached and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus answered him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ.
Today we are celebrating the memorial of Saint Junipero Serra, the great Franciscan priest and apostle to California. As I'm sure most of you know, it is his namesake that guides the Serra Club, the club that is international. Catholic men and women pray for and intercede and work for the promotion of vocations to the priesthood and the religious life in the Catholic Church. So I thought it would be a good idea today to talk a little bit about vocations to the priesthood and religious life. During my time as a priest, I spent 11 years doing campus ministry and was blessed to work with a lot of young men and women who entered religious life and the seminary. Now, for the past 3 years, I have been teaching at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans. So I know a little bit about vocations, maybe want to share a few ideas with you, particularly because today's gospel addresses the topic of following Jesus. So we're going to try to look at today's gospel and draw some ideas out about what it means to follow the Lord and some ideas for promoting and encouraging vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And so the first thing that we notice is the importance of personal encounter. Of course, there's got to be a personal encounter with Jesus. The two individuals that we see in today's gospel talk to Jesus directly, actually dialogue a bit with the Lord. We see it all throughout the New Testament. Jesus not only preaches to the crowd, but he encounters the individual. And that's something that I can tell you is absolutely true. Priests can preach about vocations all they want. We can have all the wonderful catechesis on following the Lord. But unless there's a personal encounter, unless the priest or the religious or another person enters into dialogue and shows interest in the individual, you're not going to see a lot of fruit. And so there is a lot of evidence from different surveys for men who are in the seminary. Asking them, well, what brought you to the seminary? What made you consider a call to the priesthood? A vast majority will say that a priest talked to them. A priest encouraged them and asked them, hey, have you thought about this? Have you ever considered it? And then, through spiritual direction or through serving at Mass or whatever, encourage them, accompany them on the path to the seminary or the priesthood. And so I've seen this a lot in my ministry and working with college students, the need to be able to talk about it, yes, but to be able to go to the young man and say, hey, you have the qualities that would make a good priest. Have you considered it? Let's talk about it and begin journeying. A little difference with young women. I do not suggest you going to a young woman and saying, hey, have you considered religious life? That usually will backfire on you. This is just how it goes. But if you are there present when they come to you and say, hey, I'm interested in religious life, then let's talk about it. Let's accompany each other. And so I really see walking with a young woman, entering into the dialogue, a lot more conversation it usually takes before she enters than the guy will enter, can often bear a lot of good fruit. And so we see that today. It's actually the individual who approaches Jesus and says, I want to follow. Not Jesus who comes to them and says, will you follow me? The second point is the reality that we see throughout Scripture. Jesus never forces. He always gives us the freedom to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Or to say, no, I am not prepared to. Probably the biggest evidence of this is the rich young man who Jesus tells him, if you want to be perfect, sell what you have and come follow me. But the young man can't do it. Jesus doesn't condemn him. Jesus doesn't say, I can't believe you're so weak. Instead, he looks on him with love, but he lets him go. Quite possibly he comes back at another time, but Jesus is never going to be forcing individuals. There's a call, definitely, but we have to respond freely to that call. Jesus is the greatest respecter of freedom. In the gospel, though, as I said, we see these individuals are not called because of their knowledge of Jesus, because of listening to him preach, because of their encounters with him, possibly. Come and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. And so Jesus, of course, then sort of challenges them to say, it's not very easy to follow me. But he leaves the space open for them to respond, for them to enter into that dialogue. There's nothing worse than a priest or a parent or an individual who puts pressure on a young person. You need to be a priest. You need to be religious. And somehow manipulating them or not giving them the freedom to say yes or no. Even after they enter the seminary or formation, the young person has to have the freedom to say, this is not for me. I don't think the Lord's calling me, and then have the freedom to be able to walk away, knowing that Jesus is not going to be angry, he's not going to be mad, but always waiting for that free response. And then third and finally, and I think this is what the gospel really points out, is that in order to respond, in order to truly follow Jesus, we are going to have to face our fears. And yes, this is probably, in my experience, the number one thing that stops people from following the call. Not because they're selfish, it's because they're scared. Of all the things they're going to have to give up, I won't be able to be as close to my family. I won't be able to hang out with my friends. I won't be able to get married. I'm worried about being lonely. I'm worrying about not having enough material goods. I'm worrying about being sad. And these fears are completely unfounded, absolutely unfounded. And you see the evidence in the gospel today. Jesus is like, I got too many people around me. I got to get away. Take me to the other side of the shore. He wants his introvert time. As a priest or as a religious, you're constantly surrounded by people. The Lord gives an abundance of individuals, and he supports us. He never lets those who follow him go in need. But the biggest fear, again, at least from my experience, that stops people from saying yes is a fear of losing control. We like to have control of our lives, of our destiny. This is what I want to do. To step out of the boat and to say yes to Jesus means that you have to trust him. Trust that when he calls, or if we say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you, that he is going to provide the grace we need to find fulfillment in following him. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not. But we have to trust. And this is sort of the final point as I want to sort of wrap this up. So often we tell people, hey, you need to trust Jesus. Or people come to the priest and say, Father, help me to trust Jesus more. Just like you can't tell someone, you need to love that other person. We can't simply will trusting. Trusting is something that comes much deeper. It's a trait of what? A trait of knowing God the Father's love for us. It is essentially a filial trust. It is the child who trusts his father to provide for him, to take care of him, to give him what he needs. This is the type of trust we're talking about. So those individuals that I have seen that have taken the step to follow Jesus, that have gotten over their fears, who have learned to trust are not people who necessarily force trust, but those who are deeply aware of God the Father's love for them. They know their identity as beloved sons and daughters, and therefore are able to step out and respond and say, yes, Lord, I do not know where you are leading me, but I will follow you. I don't want to stay where I am. And as St. Junipero Serra said, I never want to go back. I always want to go forward. St. Junipero Serra, pray for us.